Welcome into the Hateful Hitman Fantasy Football Podcast, Tuesday evening, November the 19th. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. Welcome into the Hitman Show. We've got a great show for you tonight. Starting in college, moving our way to the NFL. Let's do it. If you didn't know, over the last few episodes, I've got some issues with my music. Well, that's because my dumb butt deleted my intro I had recently. I was deleting some files, making some more room. Deleted the wrong one. My podcast intro, the one I was going to have done, set up, that fell through. Working on plan B. So hopefully pretty soon I'll have something decent coming to you at the beginning of the show. Anyway, welcome in. Week 11's in the books. Interesting week. We're in the crunch time. We're down to you may need some wins, and you may need to start stockpiling some players to keep other players from getting them. That's going to be my start when we get to the NFL portion. But like I said at the beginning, I'd like to start in college. Had a conversation on the Facebook group page talking about Ohio State. Ohio State, Buckeyes, blah, blah, blah. I live in Ohio. Anybody who knows me knows I'm not a gigantic Buckeyes fan. As a matter of fact, I'm not a Buckeyes fan at all. I root for Michigan when they play Ohio State. That being said, we have to cover the new BCS rankings that came out this week. Okay, there's a big contention from the Ohio State fans that they should be number one in the country. Now, let's not dismiss this without talking about it first, because they do have some legitimate points. Okay? I say LSU, the Ohio State fans, and I still haven't, and I even tweeted this out a while back, find me someone who's not an Ohio State fan and let me have their opinion that Ohio State should be number one. Okay, I haven't found anything like that yet. Nobody other than Buckeye fans think the Buckeyes should be number one. Ultimately, it means zero right now. Okay, that number one ranking means less than nothing right now. Okay, what does mean something is the 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay, you have to be ranked 1, 2, 3, or 4 at the end of the season. Those are the four numbers that matter. Doesn't matter that you're number 1? No. Doesn't matter that you're number 4. It matters if you're number 5. I may have said BCS. That's my bad. I meant the college football playoff. I'm still stuck in the past. But what we have right now, okay, and the top 3 are pretty easy because they're all undefeated. LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, all rolling with undefeated records. Okay, where it gets a little fuzzy is 4 through even 7 or 8. And the couple that's fuzzy is 1-loss Georgia, 1-loss Bama, 1-loss Utah, 1-loss Oregon, 1-loss Minnesota, 1-loss Penn State, which that will take care of itself this week because they play Ohio State. One of those two teams is going to lose. So here's what was posted on the Facebook page. Hands down, Ohio State is the number one team in the country, top to bottom. Okay, that's it's hard to argue that fact. Okay, and I guess the Buckeye contingent would be that their defense is far more superior than anybody else's, you know, in the top 10, we'll say. Okay, but it still goes back to body of work. Okay? I don't care how good your defense looks when you're beating Rutgers and Northwestern, because you're supposed to beat Rutgers and Northwestern. Okay? I have seen some issues and some professionals, you know, voice their concern over LSU's defense. anybody who knows me knows I don't like the SEC either. Okay, but this year we have to give a little bit of credit to the SEC minus Alabama, whose schedule's terrible and they did lose to LSU. Okay, to me, Alabama, as of right now, shouldn't even be in the conversation for making the college football playoff. Okay, you've got other teams more qualified with strength of schedule and body of work, and that's where this all comes into right now. You've got four or five teams with body of work. Three of them, okay, are already set in stone. And this is kind of what you see every year. Three teams are there. It's that fourth team that the committee always, you know, has to debate. And it usually comes down to one-loss teams, or at least it has so far since the invention of the playoff system. You've got to really give some serious consideration to not only Utah with a one-loss team, but Minnesota as a one-loss team. And now listen, if it plays itself out and Minnesota ends up in the Big Ten Championship facing Ohio State, that will answer itself, which brings me to my next point. This stuff usually figures itself out, and 90% of the time, the committee gets it right. Okay? There's always going to be a certain fan base that thinks their team's getting shafted because they didn't get in. But let's say for a moment that Utah stays the course and wins out. How cool would it be to see Utah represent as one of the teams in the college football playoff? Why? Well, because they've never been this high before. Okay, they've never been in a situation where they could make a run for the college football playoff. They're not a blue blood of college football. Okay, people don't just flock to go to this school. Okay? And I've said this before, and I've said it on many podcasts and many posts on Facebook and everything. They have one of the most dynamic, underrated running backs in the entire country was Zach Moss. Would love to see this kid get a chance. Do I think they can win the whole thing? Probably not. Okay, because you got teams up there that are probably just going to be better and more prepared and also more experienced to play in this type of atmosphere. How cool would it be for those guys to get in? If you look at Minnesota, how cool would it be for Minnesota to get in? Well, in order for that to happen, they have to beat Ohio State. And probably Ohio State would have to trip up and lose to Penn State. Two losses. You'd have to get Ohio State out of the equation in order for Minnesota to get a chance. So a lot of these teams that are here in the top 10, okay, you can't even really look at. Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma's loss really killed them. The Penn State is going to take care of itself when they play Ohio State. Bama shouldn't be in there. You know, now you got Tua out for the year with that hip injury. You know, Auburn, who is ranked 12th, could come up and beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. And then they get that's eliminated from contention, and Alabama's out of the question. Because if there's one thing that everybody that I've talked to has in common, is that Alabama has no business being in the college football playoff. Right now, they're outside of the college football playoff top four. But if Ohio State loses this week to Penn State or trips up against Minnesota in the championship, you know, and Alabama wins out, they're going to get a chance. And that's not cool, especially if teams like if Utah was to win out with a one loss, you know, strength of schedule, there's probably a little bit better. I know you're playing conference teams, but the non-conference opponents that Alabama has played is a joke. And it's like that all the time. And that's where people get aggravated with the SEC because, you know, it's the big bad SEC. You know, you play teams within your conference, you have no control over that, but your out-of-conference schedule needs to mean something. And when you're playing, you know, really cupcake teams, to me, that loses something. And for Ohio State, it's the same with me, okay? Their schedule hasn't been all that daunting. Okay, they've got one, two quality wins maybe. I mean, if you want to consider Michigan State, which I don't, you can give them that one. Okay, but their quality win is against Wisconsin. And granted, they beat Wisconsin. Beat them good. I'll give them that. Okay, but the toughest part of their schedule is still ahead of them. So I said on the Facebook conversation that if they were to win out and you get an LSU-OSU championship game, okay, the winner of the best team would be decided in that game. Because the winner and that best team would have no questions as to who the best team was. In order, I feel, my personal opinion, which doesn't really matter, we have to have an LSU-OSU championship game in order to settle this debate and this conversation. It would either A, shut me up about the Buckeyes, or it would shut up all the Buckeye fans because they got beat and they weren't the best team in the country. To me right now, those are the top two teams. They should be. It should work out to where those two guys, LSU, Ohio State, for the national championship. We can only hope, and we can only hope for an LSU victory. That, I know, is a very unpopular decision, but I live in Ohio, like I said. The Buckeye fans run rampant around here, and I really get sick of hearing it. I really do. And, you know, that's why I root for a team that's so far away from here. And if I lived in Florida, I probably wouldn't be an FSU fan, okay? I like a team that nobody else up here likes, and, you know, that's my right. And people say, why aren't you live, you're from Ohio, you live in Ohio, you should be a Buckeye fan. Well, that's not the case. That's not the way it works, okay? It's freedom, and it's, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and my happiness is rooting against the Buckeyes. On to the NFL. I'm going to start on Thursday night. I haven't had a chance to talk about this. Probably a good thing because I wanted it to simmer a little bit. This whole Myles Garrett thing with the Browns and the Steelers. Holy crap. What a stupid way to end a game where the Browns win. Okay, you're playing a division opponent in prime time on Thursday night. The only other game on that night was a college game, which I was flipping back and forth, by the way. In a game where the Browns win against a division opponent on primetime, what are we talking about? We're talking about Myles Garrett losing his cool and cracking the quarterback with his own helmet. It doesn't get any more Cleveland Browns than that right there. That says about all you need to hear. It's Cleveland Browns. It's Cleveland at its doing what Cleveland does. I tweeted out. It blew my mind because you look at Myles Garrett and you think he's good for the game and he's a pillar of the NFL and, you know, he does everything right and this and that. And in one instance, he lost his cool. And in my opinion, that mark's not ever going to get wiped away. He's going to carry that with him for the rest of his career. Whether he does absolutely zero anything for the rest of his career or not, to me that mark, that changed him. And here's the thing, I've heard all kinds of opinions and stuff back and forth on it. I was sitting at a restaurant the day after it happened listening to some people talk about it. And I just sat there and I didn't get in the middle of the conversation because I didn't have time, but you know, people have all these opinions on it are going back and forth. And it really goes down to, okay, what we have. We have Mason Rudolph trying to jerk Myles Garrett's helmet off, okay? 15-yard penalty. We got Myles Garrett jerking him up, jerking his helmet off. 15-yard penalty. Penalty's offset. Okay. Maybe you're looking at some fines right there. Maybe, maybe not. It all depends on how the league reviews it. But what crossed the line, and this is real simple, okay? What crossed the line was Garrett had a chance to walk away. Okay, you always have a choice in this life. You always have a choice. Garrett had a chance and a choice to walk away, but instead, when the one guy was pushing him away, he could have walked away, but instead he chose to swing that helmet and crack Rudolph on the top of the noggin. Okay, that right there, there's your rest of the season ban and probably some games next year. Had he walked away from that, been the bigger man, taking the offsetting penalties, maybe some fines, you're still playing in a season where your team's going to need you, but now you're done, you're sitting because you made a judgment call and you chose the wrong path. That's what it boils down to with Myles Garrett. He had a chance to walk away, didn't, and now instead of us talking about a big-time win for the Browns on primetime, we're talking about Myles Garrett, you know, ruining the rest of his season and quite possibly, you know, the rest of the Browns season also. Which don't get me wrong, the Browns are not that great of a football team, but they need every help they can get. And him being out is a huge loss on that defense. Ah, Colts Jags. Colts win 33-13 in Nick Foles' return after the injury. Not a whole lot, you know, from the Jacksonville side to really get excited about. The one thing that I was really excited about was the play of Marlon Mack. You know, he's starting to come into his own and have a very, very nice NFL season and great fantasy season for your fantasy teams. 109 yards, got a touchdown. But it ends right there because he hurt his hand, and he's going to miss some weeks. So what do? Do you go pick up Williams, who had 116 yards, you know, in his place? I'm not going to lie to you. I threw a bunch of fab dollars on him in our test league on Sleeper. I hope to get him when the waiver's clear. Just going to take a chance on some running back depth. I'm not going to lie. I went ahead and I went in and I threw a chunk of my whatever I had left on my fab. I threw a chunk at it, hoping to get him. And, you know, if he can do that, he's not going to average 8.9 a carry. I don't see that happening. But if he can be, you know, relevant in that offense and give Brissett some time, and Brissett's coming back from an injury, give him some time, you know, and another option where it's not just pass, 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 he may be good, you know, for a couple of weeks if you need a flex play or whatever heading into the fantasy playoffs. Dolphins, Bills. Bills win 37-20. The Dolphins scored more points in this game than I actually thought they were going to. Kind of surprised me against that Bills defense, which was so good at the beginning of the season. Kind of tailing off a little bit. Anyway, Josh Allen, 256 and 3 touchdowns, scored one more on the ground. Fantastic day for the Bills. Fantastic day for fantasy owners. Had him going in the league. I was hoping he put up big numbers like that. He did not disappoint. But the man of the hour that game, John Brown, 9 for 137 and 2 touchdowns. One of them was a bomb. This guy's been consistent all season for Buffalo. So if you've picked up John Brown or you've had him since the start of the season, good for you. If you've played him, you know, he's had a really solid fantasy season for you, and there's really helped Buffalo Bills, you know, throughout the season. Now 7-3, really looking strong up in that AFC East. Now for the Dolphins, what can you say? Ryan Fitzpatrick, 323. That's your highlight for the Miami Dolphins. I think their running backs combined, all their running backs combined for like 20 yards. The running game is, there's no running game. Kalen Ballage is terrible. Literally averaged 1 yard per carry. Did get into the end zone. Who cares? If you started Kalen Ballage, it was because it was a desperation play. And that touchdown, you know, gave you some decent fantasy points. But 9 carries, 9 yards. That guy is a big-time letdown. I thought for sure he'd have – I thought when he came out of college, he was a big, fast guy. I thought, man, he's got a chance to – oh, my gosh, he's just – terrible, terrible. If you can get away from Kalen Ballage, get away from Kalen Ballage. Continuing my journey in my, I was wrong, I guess in my wrong, I was wrong tour, Dak Prescott continues to amaze and continues to put up just humongous fantasy numbers and humongous play for the Dallas Cowboys. 444 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He is taking control of that offense, and he is definitely the guy in Dallas. And, you know, like I said before, I was not a big Dak guy. This was his prove-it year to me. He's proven it to me so far. You know, I have nothing but good things to say about Dak, and I was wrong about him. You can actually see this guy getting better every game. Throws he was missing or, you know, making bad throws earlier in the season, he's hitting those now. He's moving around. He's controlling the line of scrimmage. He's doing what he needs to do, and he's got the Cowboys in a great place in the NFC East. Their record could definitely be better. 6-4 could easily be 8-2, probably should be about 8-2. They got a tough one this week against New England. I got about 3 shares of Dak that I made and traded for and stuff throughout the season. Probably have to play him in one league because Kyler Murray's on a bye week, but in a couple other leagues, I don't know if I trust Dak against New England. It's in New England with that defense that is just really good. You know, Amari Cooper's a little banged up. I may find another option for Dak in the two leagues where I do have him and have other options. Zeke, one on the ground, one through the air. You know, with Cooper being banged up, Gallup and Cobb have stepped up tremendously in the last couple of weeks. That offense looks really good. And the defense is coming into their own. They've got a couple of issues in the secondary now. Jeff Heath's been hurt. I think Woods, I saw something about Woods is now out for the year. So that secondary is a little susceptible. So, I mean, if you have wide receivers going against the Dallas Cowboys, you may want to play those guys because they're a little banged up in the secondary. But, you know, on my Dak, I apologize to her. You know, once again, did not disappoint. One quarterback that did disappoint this week, I don't expect it to continue, is Deshaun Watson. I thought this game was going to be a little bit closer, you know, than a 41-7 smoking by the Ravens. I thought it was going to be like a Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. Let's just see who can score the last touchdown. I was wrong. The Ravens come in, totally shut down the Texans. Deshaun Watson did not look good, but I do not look for that to continue. He's got a few good matchups coming up. Don't be afraid to roll Deshaun Watson out there going forward. This was a hiccup, and they ran into a Ravens team that's playing very good right now, playing inspired football, and that team is hot. I wouldn't really want to face the Ravens if I was any team in the NFL right now. So don't be afraid to continue rolling, you know, Watson out there. This stuff will not, this too, as they say, shall pass. What has gotten into the Atlanta Falcons? Okay, 3-7 now, and after a win, a crazy game in Carolina, I figured the score would be Carolina 29, Atlanta 3. But instead, Atlanta goes in there and completely shuts down everybody except Christian McCaffrey. In a game where they muster up a three lousy points, McCaffrey has looking it up here. I'm going to get the exact numbers. 11 catches, 121 yards, you know, out of the backfield. Okay, 14 for 70 on the ground. I mean, the guy is fantastic. He is amazing. And in a game where they score 3 points, he still is able to shine and completely have a smoking hot fantasy day for you in a week where Carolina's just looked terrible. New Orleans, Tampa Bay. This was kind of the outcome I kind of foresaw for this game. 34-17, Saints take care of business. I'd heard some things where people had actually thought the Bucs may win this game. Drew Brees, man, 228, 3 touchdowns, and he's got the best wide receiver in the NFL. Okay, it's move over everybody else right now. Okay, Evans, Julio, you guys, you're all second fiddle to Michael Thomas. Another 8 catches, 114 yards, and a touchdown. The guy continues to get looks, he continues to get targets, and he continues to make catches and put up gigantic numbers. And when you've got that and you've got Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback, to get him the ball, this is possible all over the place. And, you know, on the other side of it, Jameis Winston, man, 313, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. If you're in a league where touch or interceptions don't really hurt you, maybe it's minus 1 point for a pick or whatever, as opposed to like maybe 2 or 3 or 4, depending on your league scoring. You know, Jameis didn't kill you; he had a decent day. But this is what we're going to see. This is Jameis Winston right here. Okay, I've said it before. We've seen all we need to see from Winston. That I don't think he's back in Tampa next year. You know, 30 of 51, he's over 50% passing, but still, you know, he just doesn't look good at times. He throws the ball, and you wonder, why are you throwing the ball right then? Right there. I mean, you can see it on from the television, and I'm not a gigantic, you know, NFL spot this happening on the field all the time. But when he makes a throw and he's under duress when he does it, 9 times out of 10, it's going to end badly for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the one pick wasn't his fault. You know, I'll give him away. I'll throw that one away. But still, 3 picks. 3 picks in a game where, you know, it's a division game. And, you know, you need to, you just got to do better. I don't think he's going to be better. I think this is Jameis Winston going forward. The running game is still just crap. He's got no help in the backfield. So he has to throw a bunch of times. So maybe he's forcing himself and, you know, he's trying to make a play. But still, early in the season, he wasn't making these mistakes. Early in the season, he was taking care of the ball and, you know, checking it down, giving, you know, taking what the defense has for him. Now he's pushing himself and pressuring and he's pressing. And, you know, this team is going nowhere again, and I don't see Jameis back in Tampa next year. Vikings-Broncos, if you checked this game out, if you turned it off at halftime and thought it was over with, you missed the Vikings' comeback of the century. They were down like 20 to nothing at the half, came roaring back. Kirk Cousins led them back. It was not a Dalvin Cook day. It looked like Denver came in with a plan to take Dalvin Cook away. We're not going to give him anything. You know, in the game last week, you could check down the ball. Dallas gave him all the check downs to Dalvin Cook they wanted, and he had a fantastic game against Dallas. Denver must have watched that game, took some notes, and said, we're going to take all that away. We're going to make Kirk Cousins beat us without Adam Thielen. And what happens? Well, Kirk Cousins comes out and beats you without Adam Thielen. 319, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, comparable stats to Jameis Winston except for the turnovers. You know, take away those 4 turnovers for Tampa, maybe a different game. Kirk Cousins protects the ball. You know, not a great game for Dalvin Cook. He did get in the end zone, kind of saved your fantasy day. He did catch 5 receptions out of the backfield. Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, continue to make plays in Adam Thielen's absence. Even the rookie, Irv Smith, 3 catches and a touchdown. You know, I had to play him in a league where it was bye weeks and some guy was injured. And I thought, well, you know, Thielen's out. I'm going to throw him out there. But lucky enough to get a touchdown out of it. You know, great win, great team win, great confidence and momentum builder for Minnesota in this game. And going forward, they know they can build on that. They got a bye week this week, much-needed bye week. It's going to kill me. I have, 9 shares of Dalvin Cook and throughout my fantasy leagues. He's off this week. It's going to kill me. But they need to rest, and they need the week off. So, you know, it's good for them. This is the last bye week of the season. So after this, the bye weeks are over and we're back to normal. I tweeted out on Twitter that had a picture of Kyler Murray just kind of as like a gif of him just throwing a ball over and over again. And I said, Niner killer in training. Because it seems like in the two games that they've played, they can't stop Kyler Murray. Now, granted, their defense is not that great. They blew a 16-point lead, and they gave up the win late in the game with the touchdown, you know, the touchdown pass to Jeff Wilson there that iced the game for the Niners. But Kyler Murray is stepping up. Every game he gets a little bit better. He gets a little more experience, and that's dangerous. Okay? When he learns how to play at this level with his size and stature and everything, you know, his accuracy and his decision-making are going to be huge for Arizona and for fantasy owners, you know, going forward. Love Kyler Murray. Loved him in college. You know, like I said, won a championship, college championship with him last year. Kind of been on his wagon ever since. You know, I hope he continues to grow and continues to keep himself healthy, because I would love to see how this works out for him and how he turns out as an NFL player as opposed to Major League Baseball player. Patriots-Eagles, we'll touch on this one real quick. Tom Brady's didn't look great. The Eagles had the lead early and gave it up. And, you know, in true Brady fashion, you know, they was able to get the win. A whopping 8 points was scored in the entire second half in this game. And it just happened to be what New England needed to come back and win to go to 9-1. Now, I know it's in Foxborough, and I know it's going to be cold and probably nasty and stuff up there. I really think Dallas comes in and challenges New England this week. Can't go as far as saying they're going to win. Okay? They're going up against an elite defense. But I can't wait to see how this game plays out. Dallas has to play this game and then turn right back around and play again on Thanksgiving. It's very important to not go in there and just lay an egg. Dallas, even if they lose, they need to compete in this game and be in it in the fourth quarter. I hate to say, you know, let's make Brady beat him, because he's done it so many times. But, you know, he's looking a little old. He's looking a little bit, you know, out of sorts a little bit. The running game is not great. So if they can go in there and get to Tom Brady, you know, and rattle him and maybe get a late fourth quarter turnover, Dallas could squeak out of New England with a win. Now, it's not that far-fetched. Okay, Dallas has the team to do it, especially offensively. Going up against an elite defense, it's going to be a fantastic game. Dallas' weakness, like I just said, in the secondary, Tom Brady, if they can make him make a mistake, you know, and get to him, Dallas could go in there and get a win. It's not that far out of the realm of possibility. Would love to see that happen. I hate the Patriots. They're 9-1. Somebody needs to beat them again, and why not? It might as well be, you know, my Dallas Cowboys. Bengals, Raiders, holy crap. They threw Ryan Finley in. You know, they didn't throw him to the Wolves because they've been getting chewed on by the Wolves all season. But 0-10, not a slam dunk for the first overall pick yet, because there's still a couple of teams that are right there close with them. But they're looking like the worst team in football again. And this takes you back to the 90s and the early parts of the 2000s, where the Bengals won one or two games a year, and that's kind of what they were. I don't watch too many Bengals games, but I did flip over and watch a little bit, and Ryan Finley, bless his heart, you know, he's trying his best, but he's just not doing that great. I know he's only a rookie, and I'm trying to give him, you know, some benefit of the doubt because he plays on a terrible team. He is trying his best, and he's moving out of the pocket and trying to find receivers, but, you know, rough quarterback play. Long story short, if they get the first overall pick, almost certain they're taking a quarterback. Probably won't be Tua now because of the injury, but you got Justin Herbert up there. Maybe it's Justin Herbert. Maybe he lands in Cincinnati. You know, I don't know. and maybe it's not the quarterback issue. Maybe that's not the problem. You know, maybe Dalton comes back next year and everything's fine, but that team is bad, and their record, you know, shows it. For the Raiders, hey, Gruden's got the Raiders on the up and coming. 6-4, went in, you know, took care of the Bengals like they were supposed to. David Carr having a very solid season for the Raiders. Not MVP-like, but very solid. He has got a playmaker at rookie running back, Josh Jacobs, behind him. The kid continues to flourish as a rookie. Another 100-yard game this week. It makes a quarterback's life so much easier when you have somebody that can run the ball and take pressure off of you. You don't have to do everything. Okay, Carr spreading the ball out, spreading it around. Hit 8 different receivers, okay? That's good ball distribution, okay? Darren Waller, 5 for 78. Tyrell Williams, 4 for 82, led the way. Hunter Renfro's coming on. I liked him early in the season. I thought he'd have a bigger role. 5 for 66. That's good. That's good. That's a good chip in for the team. That's another good day for fantasy. That's double points in fantasy league for you. You know, this team's playing good football right now. 6-4, you know, great season. Making a run for the playoffs here, coming down to the wire. There was a Todd Gurley sighting. I don't know if you missed it or not. There was a Todd Gurley sighting, and I saw it, so I know it happened. Sunday evening, Todd Gurley was spotted scoring a touchdown in the NFL. It did happen. If you happen to play Todd Gurley, if you haven't given up on him yet, and I can see why you wouldn't, because the high draft capital that you spent on Gurley this year, you know, pretty much forces you to play him, you know, even against a tough Bears defense. But he was cited scoring a touchdown and having a somewhat decent fantasy game for fantasy owners in a big-time win against the Bears, where the Rams this year just don't look like the Rams that we expected, you know, at the beginning of the season. On the other side of the ball, Chicago now 4-6, and let's just call this what it is. Okay, let's just call this, you know, right down to it, Mitchell Trubisky is not a good quarterback. He's not a good fit in the system or whatever. They say they took him out because, you know, he got hurt. I don't know. I don't believe all that. You know, the dude looks terrible. He looks horrible. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. One-year quarterbacks in college struggle because they just don't have enough experience, you know, playing meaningful football at a Division I Power 5 school where he went at the University of North Carolina. He needed more time. And I don't know. It looks like he's getting worse instead of better. And we see this so often with quarterbacks who come out and they have the flair and they look great, you know, and they just don't get it. I'm going to be honest with you. I worry a little bit about Joe Burrow for the same thing. Quarterback at LSU. Transferred from Ohio State. Plays at LSU. You know, not a lot of playing experience. I worry about him at the next level. Mitchell Trubisky is not a good quarterback. Had I been Matt Nagy, and I'm not, I'm just a carpenter from Ohio, I would have went back to Chase Daniel a long time ago. More experience, you know, probably at this stage in the season, probably has more confidence right now than Trubisky does. You know, it's not a great situation either way, but I would go with Daniel. I think he gives your quarterback position a little bit of stillness and a little bit of, you know, a baseline that he can handle the situation. Running backs, I don't know if they're just not that great. I mean, because, you know, Montgomery got 14 carries. but he only got 13 yards. That's 2.2 a carry. That's not much better than Kalen Ballage with his one, you know, 1 yard per average, 1 yard average per carry. So, you know, they got a lot of questions that for a defense that's that good, playing that good, and, you know, an elite level defense like that, you know, they're getting kind of shafted because their offense isn't holding up their end of the bargain. One more game to get to. Chiefs, Chargers. Chiefs escape thanks to another four interception performance by Philip Rivers. Now, Rivers, Winston, both threw four picks this week. What's the common thread? Both teams lost games that they could have won, potentially, had the turnovers not played such a big factor. The fourth interception came in the end zone, last play of the game. Rivers threw it up for Eckler. It got picked off. Game set and match. Kansas City wins. Kansas City wins, moves to 7-4. Chargers lose a division game, go to 4-7, and you're scratching your head. Okay, is Rivers lost it? Is he done? Is he old? Has he had it? Maybe. Because he hasn't looked good for a month. Okay, I had him in a league, had him in two leagues, traded him in one, thank goodness, benched him in the other league, thank goodness. So I didn't foresee this coming. I didn't forecast the future. I'm not one of those type of people, but I just thought that maybe, you know, he doesn't have it quite like he used to. You know, but this is the time of the year where he can show back up and throw 400 on you, but they're 4-7 and looking for answers, and right now they're not out of the playoff hunt, but, you know, with the Raiders playing good and the Chiefs playing good, they could be the odd man out, you know, in that AFC West. College fantasy playoffs, round two, and that two-quarterback, multi-flex, multi-tight end, multi-defense, multi-kicker league I'm in. I'm the number one seed. I'm moving into the semifinals. Got a big game this week. The two quarterbacks for me are Anthony Gordon out of Washington State and Joe Burrow out of LSU. I'm going against Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields. What a battle that's going to be. Looking for another college championship and only my second year playing college fantasy. One step away from the championship, but I got a big task ahead of me. Technically, I'm playing the four seed, but realistically, it's probably the two best teams season long are playing in the semifinal. It could very well have been the championship game. So I kind of call it Championship A and Championship B in order to get to my second championship. Looking forward to it. Big week this week in the college playoffs. That will do it for me on a Tuesday evening. My name is Chris Starsball. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict. Coming soon to Apple Podcasts, hopefully. Still waiting to hear back from them on that. Have a great week. Get your lineups in. You got waivers. Get your waivers in. It's that time. Stack them up, people. It's a week where, you know, if you see an extra quarterback on the bench or on the waiver wire, pick him up so somebody else don't. That's your Hitman tip for the evening. Have a great week. See you next time on the Hitman Show.